Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom to you all, dear brothers and sisters. We are studying together the book of John, the Gospel of Yohanan. And I would like you please to open your Bibles and let us turn to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And in this ministry meeting, I would like to continue from John chapter 6 and verses 41 into verse 59. So please turn to John 6 and verse 41. And I'm reading, beloved brothers and sisters, as you follow me, please. Verse 41, we read, "The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Yeshua, the son of Yosef, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Anihu lechem hachaim. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Yeshua said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.'" He continue in verse 58, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue," Beit HaKnesset in Hebrew, "as he taught in Kfar Nachum." And I'm stopping here, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 59. So we read together John chapter 6, beginning from verse 41, and we read all the way to verse 59. And I would like to remind you, dear brothers and sisters, and dear friend, that as Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, was now in the north of Israel, presenting himself by showing, even through the feeding of these 5,000 from the loaves and the fish that this boy gave him in order to use. And then the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, prayed and blessed the bread and blessed the fish, and multitude were eating. From there on, if you remember, we began the deliberation that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, had with the multitude and ultimately with his disciples as well. And we have learned from verse 22 to the end of chapter 6, verse 71, the Lord really giving, you might say, a sermon on the bread of life. And he takes that which he had, you might say, blessed, the physical bread that he blessed and provided food for 5,000 men plus women and children, according to Matthew chapter 14. And he's now taking this, a special miracle which he had accomplished in the Galil in the north of Israel, and now he's using it to teach some spiritual truth. And so if you remember, we said that there were four groups with four types of responses to the message of the Lord. The first group, which we have already shared with this group, that they were seeking for him. And you remember specifically those seekers from verse 22 all the way to verse 40. Those seekers, remember we read the day following when the people which stood on the other side, they were looking for him. And we did read in verse 24 that they arrived to Kfar Nahum and they were seeking for Jesus, seeking for Yeshua. And to them he expounded, told them that he is the bread of life that cometh from heaven. You remember verse 35, Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now this statement that he was that bread of life that came from heaven, and those that believe on him will never hunger and will never thirst, brought about or caused, you might say, a second reaction to the message that he shared with them concerning the bread of life. So to the seekers, he had responded to them by telling them that he was that bread of life. And if you remember, by the time that we arrived to verse 38, 39, and 40, Yeshua said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he claimed to be the Mashiach, the Messiah, that came down from heaven to do the will of God the Father. And you remember the climax was in verse 40, where the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he promised everlasting life to those that will believe that he was indeed the Son who was sent from the Father, Haben that was sent from the Abba. The Father sent the Son, 1 John 4, to be the Savior of this world. Well, immediately, beloved brothers and sisters, I want you to notice now that from verse 41 to verse 51, we have a different response from those that came to seek for him. Some of them believed on him, but there were others that were still struggling, and you might say, murmuring and complaining to one another and among each other concerning the statement that Yeshua, Jesus, have said unto them. And so you notice, it is beautiful to see in verse 41 to verse 51 the response of those that murmured. The Hebrew word is mitlonenim, and they were murmuring among each other, and they were also obviously murmuring against the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. This is why it is so important for you and for me today, beloved friend, not to murmur against him. In fact, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that there were those that have to be careful not to murmur. Murmur not. And looking back to the history of Israel, when Israel murmured in the wilderness, sadly, in these days, many do murmur against the Lord and against the things of God. But here, it is in connection with his claiming to be the bread that came down from heaven. So verse 41, we read, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You notice that? They murmured at him because he claimed to be the one, the bread which came down from heaven, according to verse 35, and now in verse 41. So you notice the word, they murmured at him. In other words, they were perhaps saying, well, this is not possible. Why does he claim? Who does he think he is, that claiming that he came from heaven? And they were murmuring at him because he said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. To remind you that in Exodus chapter 16, God provided for our forefathers, the people of Israel, bread from heaven. We read in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, this is this small round thing that was laying on the ground when God have led the people of Israel in the wilderness, this was the man. So it said, when the children of Israel saw it, they say one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So the bread that came from heaven, looking back historically in the history of our forefathers, the Jewish people, simply was that man, that manna, that came down from heaven, and the people of Israel enjoyed in the wilderness to eat this bread and to satisfy their need. Though, later on, they were complaining. They were not satisfied now with this bread. They wanted more than the man. Well, here we have it again here. They murmured at him because he said that he was the one that came down from heaven. So in verse 42, the Jewish leaders thought that they knew who Yeshua is, because they said in verse 42, is not this Yeshua, the son of Yosef, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I came down from heaven? So you see, because they knew him and his father, stepfather that is, Yosef, and Miriam, his mother, they knew that they lived in Nazareth. So they were surprised. How come this man is claiming to come from heaven, claiming to be the bread that came down from heaven? We know him. He live in our midst. He live in our nation. He live in a city of Nazareth. They thought that they knew him. But you see, beloved friend, this is really important for us to grasp. There is only one time in human history. It never happened in the past, and it will never happen in the future, when God took union humanity with his divine nature. This is a miracle of miracles. As I mentioned earlier, it never happened in past history since creation, and it's never going to happen anymore throughout eternity, because God took once, in the fullness of the time, he took humanity with his divine nature, and that is the birth of Yeshua, the Messiah, to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem in the land of Israel. It will never happen before. So on the one hand, we can really understand. we can really understand that they were in a dilemma. They were in dilemma. How is it possible that we know his father, we know his mother, we know his brethren, and here at the same time he said, I came down from heaven. Who does he think he is? They say. And if you and I would have been there, we would probably say the very same thing. Anyone who come and say, I came down from heaven, never happened before in history, never will happen again in future history. You can understand, yet the Lord wanted, Yeshua wanted to draw them to himself, and he was always ready to explain this to those who would come to seek to find out the ways of the Lord. After all, beloved friend, the Hebrew scripture did proclaim that when the Messiah will come, he will be born of a virgin, he will be born in a supernatural way, he will be called Emmanuel, Isaiah chapter 7, he will be called God with us, he will be called El Gibor, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he will be called the servant of the Lord, Eved Adonai, Isaiah 42, he will be called the son of men, Ben HaAdam, Daniel chapter 7. When the Messiah will come, he will be called Yehovah Tzidkenu, Jeremiah chapter 23. He will be called this name because that is the character and that was who he is. But again, the human heart is so slow to understand, and if the Holy Spirit of God will not explain this to you and I, neither will you nor I will ever grasp this. Well, so when they ask in these next verses, they said, this is Yeshua, the son of Yosef, whose father and mother, we know them. How is it that he claimed that he said that I came down from heaven? Well, to remind you, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54 and even 55, where it says, is not this the carpenter's son, verse 55 of Matthew chapter 13? Is not his mother called Miriam and his brethren Yaakov, Yosef, Shimon, Yehuda, James, Joseph, Shimon, and Judah? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? We read in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55 and 56. Well, he had brothers and sisters, and of course we know that his brothers and sisters were born after him because he was born to the virgin Miriam, and after this, Yosef and Miriam had additional children, which were half-brothers and sisters of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But it is a puzzle to the mind of men. Today, we see that in the world, even in Christendom, the dilemma of the divine nature and the human nature of Yeshua the Messiah is still problematic to mankind. And if God will not reveal this to us, neither we will ever grasp it. God and man in one? This is a miracle of miracle. Well, he came and he took union humanity because then he could die as a substitute, as men, for the rest of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we find that this question rose up by the Jews. Now again, notice that when we read again in John chapter 6, in the verses that we study together, in verse 41, the Jews then murmured. Well, the Jews mainly has an application in the Gospel of John to the Jewish spiritual leaders of Israel. So now, notice that verse 43 of John chapter 6, Yeshua required that they will not murmur among each other. He said, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, he said to them. See, he calming them, he want to explain to them. He want to help them to understand who he was. And then he said in verse 44 something that is amazing. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now notice this, beloved friend. This is an amazing statement that came out from the mouth of the Lord. No man can come to me except the Father, Ha'abba, draw, which has, with have sent me, he will draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is an amazing truth. And with this statement, we learn that because we have a sin nature, because of the sin nature that we have, we cannot come to the Lord unless God, the Father, in the power of the Spirit of God, draws us unto the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. That tells us about the depravity of the human nature. Now, I know that we don't all grasp it. I know that you might have a problem with this statement, and you'll say, well, if I cannot come to him, so why does God blame me if I cannot come to him? Well, we read in other passages, as we already read in John chapter 3 and verse 19, that men love darkness rather than light. Men cannot come to God because he loves more darkness, more sin than God. He loves more darkness rather than light. So men, because of his inability to come to God, need to be drawn by God. And every one of us who became a believer in the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, we have been drawn to him by the Spirit of God. On our own, we would never come to him. And here is the amazing statement that Yeshua mentioned in verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Let me read ahead a little bit. Notice in verse 65 of the same sixth chapter. It says in verse 65, again, Yeshua, Jesus is speaking. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. In other words, it is really, beloved friend, a gift of God to even come to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And here it is where we usually have this dilemma and misunderstanding, and we don't know how to handle the truth of the sovereignty of God, the human depravity, the human sin, the sinfulness of man, and the inability of ourselves to lift ourselves up. No one can come unto me except the Father draws him unto myself, and I will raise him at the last day. This is important, beloved friends. In verse 37, we have already read the truth, the truth concerning the two lines of truth, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of men. But we can see in verse 37, which we have read already, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. This is the sovereignty of God. God gave the believer as a gift to the Son. But then it says in verse 37b, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We see the responsibility of men. But we learn that even when we come to him in responsibility, we find out that God had produced this in our hearts. Again, John 6, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so God the Father must draw us. At some point of time in our life, he drew you, he drew me to himself. In a sense, beloved friend, this is what we call family truth. We do not go to the world and tell the world, you cannot come to God. To the world, we say, you must come to God. You must repent. You must turn to God. But in reality, when we do, when one come to God, we find out that after all, it is the grace of God that drew us to himself and brought us unto salvation. Notice what Paul said, said about this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The apostle Shaul Paul said in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And then he continued, you believed, yes, but then he said, even this, he said, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God even gave us the gift of faith to believe. And, you know, he does it in his time, in his ways. We are just, you might say, dependent upon the grace that God provide for us. This is a fascinating truth to understand, beloved friends. So here is the Lord. He's explaining this. No one can come unto me except the Father draw him unto myself. It is really amazing. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given. It's in Hebrew we say matana. It's a gift. Unto you it is given in behalf of the Messiah, of Christ, of Mashiach, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. In other words, God gave us the gift of, number one, believing on him, but he also gave us the gift of suffering for his name. This is fascinating truth to understand, beloved friend. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice he said, work out your own salvation. He doesn't say work out for your own salvation. No. Work out the salvation that you received from God freely. Work it out in your life because it is God that works in you both to will and also to do of his own good pleasure. This is an important verse to elaborate. And I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, there is a day coming that those who are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, will be resurrected to be with him, spirit, soul, and body forever, because he paid for the sin of those that believe on him. So back to John chapter 6, and we are now in verse 44 and 45. So Yeshua explained how any man can come to God. It is only through the truth of God's word. That's why he's explaining in verse 45, where he said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned from the Father, he come to me. He is actually making a reference to the prophet Isaiah that wrote in the to the nation of Israel in chapter 54 that everyone will be taught of God. We must be taught of God. Isaiah 54 and verse 13, God said this to our forefathers, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the shalom, the peace of thy children. Speaking concerning Israel's future regeneration as a nation. But anyone, even Israel in the future, and you and I today, we must be taught by God in order to come to know him and believe on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So he's speaking in Isaiah 54 and verse 13 about Israel's future, when Israel will be restored to God and Israel recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. That is yet future. But here, when he's going now to be rejected at his first coming, he's expounding to them the way how one would come to him. In verse 46 of John chapter 6, we read, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. No one of us, no man can see God and live, but the Lord Yeshua, God the Son, he is the eternal Son, he has seen the Father. He came from God the Father. He is one of the persons of the triunity of the Godhead. God the Son who became a man. So no human being ever seen God the Father, but the Lord himself, God the Son, saw and was and is eternal, co-equal with God the Father, but he is the one that seen the Father, and he came down to this world to reveal Abba, to reveal our Abba to those that will believe on him. The Lord continued in verse 47, and he says, here is the reason. Here's the reason. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In other words, believing, emunah in Hebrew, leha'amin in Hebrew, it is essential, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and believing in the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and his finished work on the tree will produce in one and provide for one eternal life. And so we continue to read in this book of John once and again about eternal life. You notice this very interesting verse, verse 47. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Didn't you notice, my dear friend, in the Gospel of John, John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36 of John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It is amazing how many times we read of this, beloved friend, in the Gospel of John. In John 4 and verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Yeshua said to the Samaritan woman, if you remember. In chapter 5 also, he continued in verse 24, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. And in this sixth chapter, in verse 27, we have already read, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat or for the food which endureth unto everlasting life. And once again in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And once again in verse 47, where we are now, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In Hebrew, the word is chayei olam. Chayei olam, everlasting life. It's not only the length and the quantity, but it is the quality of life to be belong to the Lord Jesus Yeshua, the Messiah, who is the eternal one, the eternal life. And so as we continue in John chapter 6, he's speaking to those that murmured. He says now in verse 48, I am the bread of life. Ani hu lechem hachayim. This is again one of these statements that Yeshua mentioned in the Gospel of John. He is the bread of life. You remember, beloved brothers and sisters, he called himself in these titles or name, and the word I am come from that from the statement that is found in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. In Hebrew, Eheye asher Eheye. I will be to you whatever you need. I will be to you that which I will be to you. I am that I am. Here he says, I am the bread of life. Beautiful statement. And as we have already gone over that in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10 and verse 9, if you remember, Yeshua spoke of himself and he said, I am the door. In verse 11 of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 15, I am divine. I am divine, or I am the true vine. What a statement that we have here by the person of the Lord. So here we go again. He says, I am the bread of life in verse 48. And then in verse 49, all the way on to verse 51, speaking to those who were murmuring, he said unto them in verse 49, he pointed to the passing away of the fathers. He says, your fathers, speaking about our forefathers, the Hebrews who came out of the land of Egypt, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. In other words, you see, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, he is looking back into our own forefathers, the Jewish people, the Hebrews who came out of the land of Egypt. And our forefathers, when they walked through the wilderness, God provided, according to Exodus chapter 16, man in the wilderness, the bread that came down from heaven, amazing, in a miraculous way. That was to feed them, to nourish them physically. But here he go beyond it. Here he go beyond it. He wanted them not only to be fed physically as they were fed, 5,000 souls, according to John 6 and verse 10, were fed by the boys, this boy, this yeled in Hebrew, that provided his bread and fish. They were fed physically, they were nourished, but they needed much more than just physical nourishment, because man dies after a certain age in this world. What's happened beyond death? Where will one spend eternity? Will one have a forgiveness of sins and will be able to stand before a righteous and a holy God? And so while our forefathers came out of the land of Egypt, they were under the blood, because without the shedding of blood, they couldn't come out of the land of Egypt. So they were forgiven, but they physically died in the wilderness when they murmured and they grumbled. But you see, here the Lord is now applying this spiritual truth. Your fathers ate manna physically, but they died physically. But then notice what he said. And then he continued in verse 50 and 51, and he said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean to them that they will not die physically, because obviously, all the disciples died, the apostles died. Those that were there in the land of Israel, where Yeshua was in the Galilee, all of them have passed away. They've died. Even Yeshua himself died for the sin of this world, but he was buried and he rose again and he was taken up to heaven and he's sitting at God's right hand. He was raised for our justification, but all have died physically. He's now leading them to understand the spiritual truth. That's the reason why he came. And so in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Boy, my dear friend, I hope we understand it. What does it mean? I will give my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. Well, you remember, beloved friend, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, had to give his life. He had to die physically, literally. And what is literal death? Physical death simply means that the soul and the spirit are separated from the body. And when the Romans have lifted him up on the Roman cross, he died physically when the soldier pierced his side. And when they pierced his hands and his feet on that shameful tree, he died physically. And that's why when he said, I am the bread of life, and he's speaking about the fact that he will have to give his flesh, he means that he will have to die. He doesn't mean that one need to eat his literal body. Obviously not. It doesn't mean that we need to be cannibals eating the human flesh of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Obviously not. That will not give anybody eternal life. But he, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one that came to this world to give his life a ransom for many. That's why we read in John 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And notice this, John chapter 6 and verse 51 in the middle, and the bread that I will give is my flesh. His body had to be given, which I will give for the life of this world. Again, beloved friend, let us remember that since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God has set a principle. And the principle is that someone had to be killed, so Adam and Eve and all their descendants who will believe and accept God's provision will never need to die eternally. So God provided for Adam a garment of skin from an animal that he had to kill. And when animal died, the blood was shed, and the sin of Adam and Eve were atoned, covered, while their body was covered with the skin of the animal. From there on, every sacrifice that was provided for man by God had to be brought to him in order to make atonement, to make covering, to make in Hebrew kapara, to cover sin. And here now come Yeshua the Messiah, because animal sacrifice only cover, never remove sin. The animal's blood only covered temporarily the sin of the nation of Israel in the history of our forefathers. Now come the Mashiach himself, who is a holy one, harmless one, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he now not only come to cover sin, but he comes to remove sin, because he is the holy man, not animal anymore, not sacrificial animals anymore, but a man, a holy man. That's the only one, the only man, because of who he is, was qualified to not only cover sin, but to remove sin. So he had to die. That's why in verse 51 he said, I will give my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. Let me just remind you. According to John 3:16, the Lord Jesus the Messiah gave himself for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. According to John 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, died for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. In John 11 and verse 50, we read, it's very interesting, because in John 11 and verse 50, we read, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. There we see that one man, namely the Messiah, will die for the nation of Israel. We read in verse 52 of John 11, and not for that nation only, but that also he should die, should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So he will die for Israel and he will die for the world. According to John 15, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, we read in John 15 and verse 12, Yeshua is speaking, and he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And notice, and greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here's the, again, the Lord Jesus the Messiah gave his life for his friends. And then Paul, Shaul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you can see here from John 6, verse 51, I will give my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. So Yeshua willingly gave his life for the world, gave his life for his sheep, gave his life for Israel, gave his life for his friends, gave his life for the assembly, and gave his life for me, for you individually. He gave his life. That's why John chapter 10 verse 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. How precious it is, my dear friend. How precious it is. So, beloved brothers and sisters, we have dealt now from verse 41 to verse 51 with those that murmured. And now in verse 52 to 59, we see that there was more than just murmuring, but there was also striving. So again, verse 52, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? You notice that? So this time, we are not so much dealing with the seekers. We dealt with it. We're not so much dealing with the ones that were murmurers. We have dealt with it. Now we are dealing with those that were striving again among themselves. Now, of course, in general, they were the same people. But some of them were seeking, some of them were striving and murmuring, and some of them were now striving. And so, again, the Jews, remember, whenever you read the Jews in the Gospel of John, most likely it has to do with the Jewish spiritual leaders of our people of old. And so you notice in verse 53, we read Jesus is now speaking to them. And from here on until verse 59, we hear him speaking. And he said to them, listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now again, this is fascinating. He used this expression to explain the necessity to appropriate, to make things our own. When he used the word to eat the flesh and to drink the blood, he doesn't mean literally drinking his blood and literally chewing on his flesh of his body. Definitely no, beloved brothers and sisters. He's using this expression to help them understand the need to appropriate the word of God to oneself. This is extremely important to understand. So, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Notice he used the expression, the Son of Man. He doesn't say, eat the flesh of the Son of God. Why? Because God is a spirit. You cannot eat the flesh of the Son of God. But you can eat, meaning to appropriate him as the Son of Man, as the one who came to this world, took union, humanity, in order to die as a man and pay for the sin of this world, your sins and mine, and to appropriate his death, burial, and resurrection to our life. So the eating and the drinking here of verse 53 of the flesh and the blood of the Son of Man simply mean make it your own. Embrace the work of the Messiah on the tree for your sins. Recognize that it must be your own. It's not only for somebody else, it's for you, for me. Each one of us individually have to appropriate the finished work of our Lord Jesus the Messiah to ourselves. There's an interesting verse that is found both in Jeremiah and also in the book of Revelation, where the angel was saying to John the apostle to eat the little book that he had in his hand. And it says, I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. This is Revelation chapter 10 and verse 9. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And you see, here simply it's the Word of God, while John appropriated the Word of God, God's Word, to his own, you might say, his own inner being. It was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly, because it's sweet to know what God have done for humanity through Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But it's bitter to know that when someone will reject his word, he or she will eternally be separated from God and be judged by God. That's why Yeshua says in verse 53, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You cannot have eternal life in you because you are dead because of sin." He continued, beloved friend, to say in the next verse how important it is to appropriate the flesh and the blood, because it reminds us of the blood of the lamb that had to be killed. Leviticus 17:11 said it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Hebrews chapter 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Our people of all, the people of Israel, had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their homes in order for the lamb that died, and they fed on that lamb in their homes in the land of Egypt. Then God now could pass over the Hebrews and deliver them out of bondage and brought them redemption. You see, there's an amazing spiritual lessons here, beloved friend. And as we move along, in verse 54 of John chapter 6, the Lord developed this. And he continues, says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Eternal life. Notice this is one-time eating, one-time appropriation of the finished work of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, to oneself. And that will give this person eternal life. And that simply means that one has to believe to make him your own. You have to realize that he died for you. Every one of us that read this passage in John chapter 6 and verse 54 have to realize that the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, died for you, for your sin, for my sin, every one of us individually. Therefore, he says, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life. Not may have. What an assurance. Have everlasting life. Chayei olam. And I will raise him up at the last day. So it is a one-time appropriating by faith the finished work of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah on the tree when he died, when he was penalized, when he suffered for our sin, because God, a holy God, had to forsake this holy man, the Son of Man, Ben Adam, and to judge him for your sin and for mine. And notice what he continued to say in verse 55, "My flesh is food and my blood is drink. For my flesh is meat indeed, is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." This is the true way of salvation, my dear friend. Accepting the Lord Jesus the Messiah is that which truly provides for us salvation. It's like what we read in John 1 and verse 9. "That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world." You notice that? Amazing. In verse 47 of John chapter 9, we read again, once again, concerning the person of Yeshua the Messiah. It said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, and is a true Israeli, in whom there is no guile." In other words, a true Israeli is one that will believe on the one who is the true light. And as we read here in verse 55, that my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It is a true food for salvation. Faith in a Messiah. It is indeed the truth for salvation. And many times the Lord speak about the word indeed or the word true. In John 8 and verse 31 we read, Jesus then said Yeshua to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You notice the word indeed mean truly. Truly you are my disciples. An Israelite indeed. Truly you are an Israeli indeed who believe in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Truly he is the one who is the true light that came into the world. And here is the true bread that came down from heaven. These are fascinating statements that we have here. In John 8 and verse 36 we read, for if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You're going to be truly free from bondage to sin and you'll have everlasting life. And in John chapter 15 and verse 1, he says of himself, I am the true vine. A true vine. And so precious statement that we have here concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He is the true tabernacle. He is the true God. 1 John 1 and verse 20 says, this is the true God and eternal life. And now in this passage, beloved friend, in John chapter 6 and verse 55, he says of himself, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This is the real thing. Believing on me, accepting my work on the tree, my death and burial and resurrection is truly food for providing for one who will believe on me, Yeshua said, eternal life. And so as he continue here in verse 56, the one that appropriate Yeshua's work will have fellowship with him, an ongoing feeding on him. Notice this, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Notice there is a fellowship. And again, beloved brothers and sisters, don't misunderstand. The Lord does not expect you and I to be cannibals, drinking blood and eating human flesh, not at all. What he's really saying, it's an ongoing feeding on him. As our forefathers, the Hebrew, fed on the lamb and its blood was placed on the doorpost and the lintel while they were eating the lamb in their homes at that night, some 3,500 years ago when God passed over them, they literally ate from the food, from the meat of the lamb. Here the Lord is applying this spiritually and saying, everyone that will feed on me spiritually, read the word of God, have fellowship with me, serve me, speak with me through prayer, live life for me, he dwells in me and I dwell in him. There will be a fellowship when we live here in this world. And then verse 57 and 58, we read that God is a living God and believers live through God and by him. As the Father, as the living Father has sent me, and I live in the Father, so he that eateth, he that appropriate the work of the Messiah and the person of the Messiah, he that eateth me, make me true in his own life, even he shall live by me. In other words, a person must appropriate the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, into one's life in order to continue to live life that is a godly life in this world, which ultimately will take us to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, in heaven. And notice as we head towards the end, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 58 we read, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now, obviously, beloved friend, We pray that we trust that all of us will clearly understand that our forefathers, as the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, your fathers, speaking about our fathers of old, the Hebrews, they ate physically the bread, the man that came from heaven. And it satisfied their temporary need during the wilderness as they traveled through the desert on the way to Canaan, the promised land. But God's provided for their physical need. And even then they died, as it is appointed unto man once to die. But you see what he's saying? He's teaching a spiritual lesson here. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. In other words, here I am, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, came down from heaven, became a man. Now I am, while on the one hand the man symbolized me, spoke of me as the bread that came from heaven, yet the man was a literal physical bread, but I am he that came down from heaven, the bread, but I am the living bread. I came to provide redemption for humanity. They died physically. But he that eateth this bread, namely accepting me, believing on me, on the Messiah Yeshua Jesus, recognizing that I became a substitute for them, they shall live forever. Forever. He that has the Son hath everlasting life. In Hebrew we say chayei olam, forgiveness of sin, eternal salvation, eternity with God. Sins have been paid for, justified, reconciled, forgiven, saved. My dear friend, this is an amazing, amazing provision from our blessed God through our blessed Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Now the statement end here. We have this interesting statement that these things said he, this is Yeshua, in the synagogue, in Beit HaKnesset, as he taught in Kfar Nachum. Now you notice that? You notice how it is very interesting? Because he met initially the multitude and he fed 5,000 men only, plus women and children, according to Matthew chapter 14, there on the mountains, where he asked them to be seated, and he fed them with bread and with fish. Then they crossed to the other side, and all the seekers went to Kfar Nachum. And then they found him in Kfar Nachum. And the discussion began at the entrance in Kfar Nachum, and it ended up in the synagogue, Beit HaKnesset, in the same village called Kfar. Kfar is village in Hebrew. Nachum is the name of the man. He may be the prophet Nahum, but whatever the person was, it was shifted. The discussion continued all the way, and it concluded in the synagogue, in Beit HaKnesset, where he taught there in the synagogue in Kfar Nachum. Amazing, amazing, amazing passage, beloved friends. So let me just conclude with this. As we mentioned earlier, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah had four kind of responses from the multitude that were fed and received from him. Their need were met. And later, as they have arrived to Kfar Nachum, there were four types of responses. There were those who sought for him in verses 22 to 40. There were those who murmured against him in verses 41 to 51. There were those who strove between themselves and against him in verse 52 and 59. And in our next meeting, in the will of our God, verse 60 to 71, there will be those that have left him and departed from him, and Yeshua was appealing to his disciples, and he asked them, "Will you also go away?" And because he didn't want some to depart, because apparently there were those who will depart and will not accept his offer for them, as he ministered unto them in the village of Kfar Nahum. Well, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, may the Lord help us to see the beauty of the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who was willing to give his life, to give his body, to shed his blood for the redemption of mankind. May we all see that and understand that, but we need the help of the Spirit of God, because as we have read, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. May he draw us, may God will draw us unto our Lord Yeshua, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, God bless you, dear brothers and sisters, dear friend. Until the next meeting together, I would say to all of you, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.